We're going to read from God's Word now, and the Bible reading today is from Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
I take the hat off, but can I leave the puffy on? Is that all right? I have got a shirt underneath, so I look legit, but it's still a bit chilly. Thank you. In that reading, we meet a man who is rich and powerful, educated, reliable, and religious. And yet, don't you think it's safe to say that he's deeply unhappy? Our rich, powerful, educated, reliable and religious official, he's stuck in life as he exclaims in verse 31, "How can I?" He's asking about his understanding of scripture in verse 31, but I'm sure this question's been on his mind during his whole pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and especially as he wandered around through the courts or the court of the Gentiles, the outer section of the temple, that question, how can I? Despite having landed the dream job, he's in charge of the treasury of the queen, despite having been granted at least 10 months off, imagine that, from that job to follow his dream, despite living a life of luxury, travelling in luxury, I mean, the guy drives a chariot, this man, who we would expect to be saying, "Let me tell you how," has the question, "How can I?" He's stuck behind a door that won't open for him. Now, you might think that as a eunuch, you know what that means, he'd be used to having doors shut to him. A man like this would be considered dried up. He's got no kids. There's no one to carry on his name. There's no future for this eunuch man. But actually, his type was valued in the ancient world. A eunuch had lower testosterone levels and so was considered more stable and reliable, able to make better, balanced judgments. They could be trusted, even trusted to be alone with women. And so they were sought after as servants and military commanders and political officials. And so actually this eunuch, this Ethiopian eunuch, he's used to being included, even though he was a eunuch, especially because he was a eunuch. Actually, all the doors of Ethiopia and even the door to the treasury of the queen was open to him. But After travelling 5 months to the Jewish temple to meet with his God in Jerusalem, he finds the most important door of his life shut. He's excluded. The inner sections of the temple are shut to him. Back at work, he's the prominent, included treasurer. At the temple, he is the obscure, excluded Ethiopian eunuch, excluded from the inner parts of the temple, and so excluded from God. Now, why excluded? Well, at least two reasons, and it's all in his name. He's the Ethiopian eunuch. He's Ethiopian. He's a foreigner. This dark-skinned man is from 4,000 kilometres south of Jerusalem. Even though he's given his life to God, he remains a Gentile, a non-Jew. And this temple was set up primarily for the Jews. And so he's excluded because he's a foreigner, Gentile, not a Jew. But also he's excluded because he's a eunuch. And as a eunuch, the law of Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 1, and if you didn't know what a eunuch is, you're about to learn. The law of Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 1 applied to him. No one who's been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the temple, the assembly of the Lord. So there you go. Door shut, excluded from the temple, from God, doubly excluded, two doors shut, Ethiopian and eunuch. Now, our Ethiopian is unhappy, but he's not hopeless. He's read his Bible. In fact, he is so wealthy that he owns the scroll of Isaiah. And so he knows the very wonderful promise of Isaiah chapter 56, verses 3 to 5. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 3 to 5 says, "Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people,' and let no eunuch complain, 'I am only a dry tree.' For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that will endure forever." So our Ethiopian eunuch, he knows that promise of inclusion for foreigners and inclusion for eunuchs, that double inclusion. So even in his unhappiness, he has hope. One day, the door to God's temple will open for foreigners, for eunuchs. The door will open to the special presence of God. One day, he'll be like a thriving tree full of fruit somehow. He will be like that forever. So, as he wanders the courts of the Gentiles, the outside of the temple, excluded, unhappy, he's not hopeless. He thinks of Isaiah 56, inclusion, but he wrestles with the question, how can I? Let's pause here and learn some things from our Ethiopian eunuch. He's a pretty likable guy, don't you reckon? Well, he prizes his relationship with God, doesn't he? And he wants to see it grow. He's willing to compromise his job, take 10 months away from it, exhausting, annoying travel all day to be with his God. Willing to be doubly excluded at the temple, probably by the people at the temple too. Certainly wouldn't get the inclusion that he's used to, but it's okay. He wants God. He wants to grow his relationship with God. It reminds me of King David in the Psalms. There's lots of Psalms that speak like this. But here's Psalm 27 and verses 4 through to 8. Listen to this. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." Our Ethiopian, he wants that. Do you want that? Do you want to gaze on the beauty of the Lord? Are you seeking his face? Are you willing to leave other good things behind for this? Philippians chapter 3 has a similar vibe. In verses 13 to 14, we've got the Apostle Paul saying, "Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Is that us? Our eunuch left behind his high power, high paid, powerful, included life. He left it behind for 10 months to strain towards the temple in Jerusalem for his hoped for prize of the face of the Lord to be in the temple. But his hope wasn't realized. It was a precious time. It was also an unhappy time, excluded from the inner parts of the temple time. And now it's time to head home. He starts out on his long 5-month journey home. So he's brought a good book with him, the best book, the Bible, well, at least the scroll of Isaiah. Maybe he's pulled out the scroll to comfort himself. Unhappy that his religious pilgrimage is over, his hopes for inclusion weren't realized, time to get back to normal life, far from the life of God. But instead of reading his favorite verse of inclusion from Isaiah 56, which we read before, he's perhaps taking comfort in reading about someone else who was a bit excluded like him. He reads Isaiah 53, doesn't he? So now in Acts 8, we're in verse 32. Reads Isaiah 53 about the excluded servant, guy a bit like him. Let's have a look at Isaiah 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, we see that people thought that man in Isaiah 53 was being excluded by God for being so bad. But actually, verses 5 to 6, the man was being excluded by God because he was so good, right? The punishment of exclusion was because he carried the sin of the world. The punishment of exclusion was his substitutionary sacrifice. He's the sacrificial lamb in verse 7. He was excluded from life and sent into death, verse 8, so that many could be included in God and enjoy fullness of life, verse 11. Justified, right with God, included in God. He got exclusion, verse 8, cut off, dying alone, so that many could be included. And the excluded servant was not left in the pain and the death and the exclusion. He lived again, in verse 11. Lives eternally, gives eternally, enjoys inclusion from God, shares inclusion with God in verse 12. Anyway, this is a good one, isn't it, for the Ethiopian, our excluded Ethiopian, to read on his way home. In this culture at this time, it was common to read aloud. There was probably no such thing as a quiet time with your Bible, just noisy times. And so our Ethiopian, he reads Isaiah 53 out loud. And as he does, he's filled with confusion. But it's okay because God, through an angel, by his spirit, sends Philip to help him understand what he's reading. This is Philip, who in Acts chapter 6 is introduced as an admin guy. He turns evangelist in Acts chapter 8. It's Philip who was scattered in the persecution and stopped in Samaria. It's Philip who, chapter 8, verse 4, proclaims the Messiah. Verse 11, the good news of the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus. God sent this Philip to help our unhappy Ethiopian eunuch as he struggles with Isaiah 53 and that bigger question of how can I be included in God? Our Ethiopian's eagerness to be near God seems to be matched by his eagerness to understand God's word as we return to our big question, verse 31, how can I? How can I? Well, here it's understand these verses unless someone explains it to me. Putting himself at the mercy of a random traveller, well, that's Philip, in order to unlock the truth of God's word. Again, let's learn from our Ethiopian unit. What a great attitude to have towards God's word. Eager to understand, humble enough to ask for help, even from rando traveller Philip. Yes, the basic message of the Bible is easy to understand. We all get John 3:16. But what about Leviticus? Do you understand what you're reading? Revelation? Do you understand what you're reading? Let's not get proud and say, well, yes, of course I always do. Or apathetic, who cares? I'll just, you know, skim over it. Let's follow the Ethiopian's example. Personally, I don't understand how anyone can read their Bible each day and not have big questions. I guess I've read the Bible, how long have I been a Christian? Maybe 27 times, maybe? I think I get more questions. They're wonderful questions, but still, questions. How can we understand these things unless someone explains? We need to pull in other people to understand, especially those tricky bits. Quiet time's a lovely thing. Please have your quiet time. Or noisy time, if the Ethiopian inspires you. Do it every day if you can. But that quiet time, even noisy time, is a Western individualist thing. The Bible was written to be read and understood in community. And so make sure you join a Bible study. Treasure coming to church. Make the most of your leaders. Make a list of your questions from your quiet time, noisy time, question time. Maybe choose a different leader each Sunday or ask your Bible study group each week. Text a friend. Don't carry on in confusion, but call out like our Ethiopian for clarity. This is Ephesians 4. God gives us people who are good at understanding and speaking God's word to us. It makes us grow. So find them and use them as our Ethiopian eunuch uses Philip. Well, back to our story, well, almost back to our story. Having said that parts of the Bible can be confusing, the Ethiopian's question is it's not too tricky, is it? The answer to his question is the Sunday school answer, isn't it? Who's he talking about? Who's the excluded servant? Isaiah 53, let's wake you up. Who is it? Isaiah 53, it's
Jesus.
It's a funny answer, but it's the best answer. Because the whole Bible is about Jesus. This bit of Isaiah seems to be the most clear about Jesus in the whole of the Old Testament, don't you think? Isaiah 53, the excluded servant of many, was talking about Jesus. So clear. I read that the Jews up until the 1940s said that Christians had been tampering with Isaiah and inserted Isaiah 53 because it so clearly points to Jesus. But then the entire Isaiah scroll was found and dated to 150 BC, and so they had to stop saying that. But even today, still today, in bar and bat mitzvahs, ceremonies to mark kids entering into religious adulthood, they'll skip Isaiah 52 verse 12 through to the end of Isaiah 53. Now, having said, and we all agree, Isaiah 53 is so clearly talking about Jesus. Our Ethiopian's question is still a great question to ask whenever you read Isaiah. Isaiah 53 is clearly talking about Jesus, but other bits of Isaiah that mention that same servant from Isaiah 53 are actually not, at least directly, referring to him. So listen to this. Isaiah 41 verse 8 says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen." Isaiah 49 verse 5, "And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant," to bring Jacob back to him. So in the first one, Israel is the servant. In that second one, Isaiah 49, it's the prophet Isaiah. And so mentions of the servant are not always directly talking about Jesus. But yeah, when you get to Isaiah 52 verse 12 through to the end of 53, yeah, it really is. As Philip explains to the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, 35, he explains this is the good news about Jesus and that the many of Isaiah 53 are not just those from Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria, but even to the ends of the earth, those far-off Ethiopians. Philip explains this from Isaiah 53. So how can a foreigner, an Ethiopian, be included in the people of God as promised in Isaiah 56? How can a eunuch be like a green fruit tree forever, as promised in Isaiah 56, through Isaiah 53, the excluded sacrificial servant of many, through the Lord Jesus, who came 500 years later and died and lived to make many right with God, to make Ethiopians right with God. And we know that our Ethiopian, in Acts chapter 8, takes hold of this truth. He believes it and receives it because he gets baptized in verse 36. It's very early in the early church, but thousands have been baptized at this point, and the Ethiopian eunuch joins them. Here's a little taste of the inclusion of the Gentiles that we see more fully in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the promise from Jesus was that the gospel would go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. And this story is a little taste of the good news of Jesus getting to the ends of the earth. Not yet. Acts chapter 10 is where it really happens. Stay tuned. A whole lot more to come soon. Our Ethiopian eunuch asks the rhetorical question, what can stand in the way? Because he understands that as a result of the servant's work, nothing can stop him from getting baptized and being included in Christ in God. The door is wide open, not his Ethiopianness, not his being a eunuch. No one can stand in his way. He knows that. He can walk right through into the presence of God. No one can stand in his way. He can walk right into the waters of baptism. Let me turn to you. Not knowing all of you very well, who can stand in your way? Who can stand in your way to the presence of God? I don't read my Bible enough. I don't give enough. I don't know enough. No, these things can't stand in your way to the presence of God. The servant Jesus was excluded so you could be included. And who can stand in your way to the waters of baptism? Why haven't you been baptized? Well, I haven't. No, baptism isn't about you. Baptism is about the servant and his sacrifice. It's the good news that Jesus was excluded so that you could be included in Christ in God. Have you been baptized? No? Then who can stand in your way? Talk to a leader about it. They might stand in your way if you haven't put your trust in the servant, if you don't believe the good news about Jesus. But if you have, if you do believe, then where's some water? So good. Don't you love this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch? There's so much to learn from him. Let's take it further. Let's bring him into our church and our ministry scene of 2025. Jesus has risen and sent the Spirit, sent us to the ends of the earth. Well, actually, he's bringing the ends of the earth to us. He's bringing the excluded to us. We're sitting here as the temple of God in the world, shining brightly, and the excluded Ethiopians, people from other nations, excluded eunuchs, outsiders in society, are coming to us. They come to us, and often they'll pick up our scroll, because we have them lying around. There's one right there. Pick up our Bibles, and they might be waiting nervously in our church meetings. They'll try to read it. Let's not tire of walking up to these people and saying, do you understand what you're reading? And then they'll probably say, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? And we get our chance to talk about the good news of Jesus. This story happens from time to time at church. I'm not sure if it's happened here, but these churches that live in areas where there are a lot of people and a lot of people from a lot of places. People do actually walk into church, pick up Bibles and ask this question. Happens very often at Friday Night Focus. Leave our Bibles around. They'll pick one up and start reading at Genesis, and they really do get a how can I understand this. Let's not get bored of it. It's wonderful. This is our stage, the Ethiopian eunuch stage. I'm not saying that in Acts chapter 8 God promises to send Ethiopians and eunuchs to us. We can't read Acts chapter 8 as a book of promises. We can't read Acts as a book of promises. It's a book of what Jesus continues to do and teach in the early church. But we can't ignore that Jesus is doing this. And I just wanted to draw your attention to it and celebrate it with you, that he brings the nations to Australia, to the church, to Focus. He brings us the excluded, the poor, the disabled, the elderly, the foreigners, the singles, they might feel like dry trees with no future. We share the good news with them, and they find a way to be like a thriving tree full of fruit and forever in Jesus. The daughter inclusion in God is certainly still open, and they're still coming. Let's keep the door of our church building open. Let's keep the door of focus open to Ethiopian eunuch types, whatever they are. Well, Philip, his work here is done, and so God moves him on to the next mission field that you see in those closing verses. As Jesus continues to do and teach through his people in the world, through Philip, through us. Our Ethiopian eunuch, he's no longer unhappy, is he? In verse 39, can you see how he feels now? He's left with joy and inclusion. That he's being rich and powerful and educated and reliable and religious could never bring him. He's got a door open in Christ, in God, that can never be closed. And we're left with an encouragement of our inclusion and a reminder to be about God's work in the world of including the excluded so that they too might know the inclusion that we enjoy. The good news of Jesus sharing in his name that will endure forever. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for sending us the excluded servant of many. We thank you for the good news about Jesus, for his sacrifice for us. It is so wonderful to be included in Christ forever. We thank you for including this story of the Ethiopian eunuch in our Bibles. He's such a great model for us with his eagerness for you, his humility and desire to understand your word. Please help us to be like him, even as we're thankful for our comforts. May you dwarf them all with your beauty, your glory. Please keep sending us Ethiopian eunuch types. Please have us meet these excluded ones and give us boldness to explain your wonderful news of inclusion to them. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.